Today's guest is my friend, Trevor Boehm. He's the author of the books Today I Rise and Man Uncivilized. He has hands down my favorite email that comes into my inbox. He's a two-time TEDx speaker, men's coach, and the founder of the Uncivilized Men's Movement. I can't wait for you to hear this one.
If I don't have to leave my house and do hard shit to get my needs, I can get my needs 80% met in some very big categories.
Yeah.
Social connection and sex. If I don't have to leave my house, if I don't have to strive, if I don't have to be in shape, if I don't have to stand out, if I don't have to be uncomfortable to get any of that, well, then I'm not going to do it. A lot of guys, that's what I hear from them. Like, well, why would I go out on a Friday night, right? And spend money and risk rejection to meet a girl. I can stay home and I can jerk off for 2 hours to 2,000 women who look exactly the way I want them, will never say no. I never have to deal with rejection. I don't have to deal with butterflies or getting nervous or anything going wrong or anything, period. I can get those needs met. And now we take that and we extend that over time. And what happens? If I don't want to go out, and I tell my buddy, like, no, I'm not going out tonight. He doesn't want to go out. And then he tells the other buddy, he doesn't want to go out. Then we have a generation that's kind of lost the zest for life.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm a huge fan. Let me tell you, do most women like your emails? Like as much as like it, like I love your emails and I feel like I'm being dirty because they're always written to men. But like, I want to see all the things he's saying, what they're talking about. So I feel sometimes like I'm a little bit of a voyeur on what's going on, you know?
I haven't heard this before. So no. I don't know. You could be like an army of one that's reading them, but
it could be. Do women tell you they read them? Do they follow? Like I do? Like,
yeah, I get replies.
Okay.
But it's primarily a male audience at this point. When I started, it was complete. It was like 80-20 female male.
Yeah.
And now, and we started talking more to men as opposed to talking about men, it became more and more men.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Okay. Because I'm a mother of a boy becoming a man, it became very strange to me when he was like 8 or 9. Like I went and I realized it was a man gonna be there, like, oh god, penis, facial hair and sex and what is gonna happen, you know? Like,
yeah,
it was a freak out moment. Yeah. My little baby thing. And I was like, I had to do this shift in parental thinking of, oh right, I'm raising a future man, and I better make sure he understands. I got to change up a couple things because
May I ask, is his father not in the picture?
So I'm divorced. He's alive. Okay. He's present. Yeah. So it's not like I'm alone. I really even hate the word single mom. I'm like, well, I'm not actually single. My mother was very single. There was, you know, I have, you know, but it is a little different when you're still not together.
Sure.
I don't have power to leverage things. And if there's a disagreement, you really don't get it worked out as same because I can't withhold the sex or anything else. Right. So I don't have as many, you know, sometimes, and I'm divorced for some reasons, right? Like, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes I can't count on, you know, someone to teach what I would want to teach. And I know it's not really my role.
Right.
But I have to talk about it or I have to do it. And there are things that I'm like, well, luckily I'm a doctor, so I can talk about things with my son. So I've been talking about things in a certain way, like wet dreams and things when he was young, like, oh, just so you know, this thing is going to happen. Just so you make sure you tell mommy, you know, don't hide it. Like I need to wash the sheets or, you know, it's like, oh, okay. Just as random, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And then I would tell the dad, like, I'm going to need you to talk about the things a little bit, like, you know, and he needs to know how to grill and make a steak and do some stuff. Like, okay, can you make sure he can change flat tire? Like,
sure.
Like I shouldn't be the one doing all that. I'm just gonna lay that out there. Right. So, I started looking for more male things, like of my friend group that I really respected, and then bigger figures, let's say like you. And I think that's what happened. So I went looking and I was like, the uncivilized man. I'm like, everything about that is hot. I love it. And my son is like a wilderness survival bushwhacking kid. He was super into all this at six and seven. Like he started. So I had to start taking him to like knife throwing classes at seven.
Beautiful.
You know, and axe throwing things. And he was always the only child. I couldn't even get other parents. I would say, well, we're going to go up to the mountains for the weekend. He's taking this class with this, you know, Native American Indian shaman guy, and they're going to throw, he's going to do knife, knife throwing. And so I'm like, yeah, I can super into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like wilderness and tracking and survival weekends. And my son can make fire on ice. Like that's beautiful. A whole thing. He's really talented. And he won't use a flint thing. Like he's like, oh no, mom, that's not how you do it. Yeah. Cause we'll with like how he, with the, with the rope. And he's like, oh, he can find the stick and tell you how to do it. And he can eat bark and bugs and stuff. And so I had to learn how to do this because I'm from the city. And so my boy, he said to me once, like at 11, I know you think I'm kind of crazy that I like survival packs. And I do. I said, I don't think you're crazy at all. I said, no. I'm sorry if you feel you're a genius, actually, because you're connected to nature and the natural order. And I don't know how to provide that for you. I just keep finding the people who do. Like, you want to know how to fish? I'll go find a guy that knows how to fish. I'm like, you know how to fish? I'm going to pay you to teach my son. Let's go out in some canoes. And that's what I do. I'm going to pay this guy. He knows how to do this. This guy knows how to rock climb. Then you're going to teach him how to do it. Right. So like he's done Outward Bound and he thought that was just punk. He was like, oh mom, it wasn't really a solo. It was so lame. They were like over there as where he did a 14 week primitive traveling Native American style camp in Utah in the desert where he made
14 week or 14 day
14 weeks.
Wow.
My son is a badass.
Wow. That's a solid amount of time.
He had to make his own backpack. If you wanted to eat, you had to make a bowl.
Yeah.
Out of the wood. If you wanted a spoon, you better make one, carve it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. And he was
beautiful.
It was hard and extraordinary. He said it was one of the most difficult things he's ever done, but he also, it was potent because he got to, you know, so he was naturally driven to that kind of stuff. And so it made me have to find men who like you or men who are uncivilized, let's say, who have a whole skill set of hiking and camping and hunting, even though that's one thing we haven't done. And he asked though for, and he said he was really nervous at 12 about that. And I was finally like, what is it, honey? He goes, that I don't actually want to kill anything, because but I want to be the kind of man that can go in the woods with one bag and live for a year. So I need to know how to hunt so I can eat. Could you? I said, oh, I got that. I respect that, honey. He's on the sound of it sounds horrible. I don't, I'm like, I said, oh, you can, yes. And so then I bought him, you know, what he wanted was a bow, you know, it was kind of, he was nervous. And I'm like, yeah, that's better. Your present. He goes, really? I took him to the shooting range, the guns. He's like, really? Now his father's not into that and thinks I'm a little bit wackadoodle ish, sure, maybe. Sure. Okay. Yeah. So we're two like Northern city folks. Dad doesn't know any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've had to find these other guys, and it's led me to this whole like, oh my God, how do you raise a boy today into being a really strong man in this crazy civilized world? And I had the same kind of idea that comfort is making men so weak.
Sure.
And it is the weakness that people don't understand that's causing them to be violent. They are not inherently violent. Sure. They don't want to hurt women. They don't want to hurt children. And trying to teach that, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, in general. Yeah. And when I saw a young, and I would see what people would say about men, I would get offended. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. You're raising one for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, watch where your mouth, lady. You know what I mean? Cause you're talking about like hating my child. And it became a different thing for me. I'm like, I don't believe I'm actually defending the potential future maleness of my son, but I'm not going to let you destroy like thinking being a man is a bad thing.
Right,
because I love him more than any of you. So let's keep it real.
Yeah.
So that's what started this, Trevor. Like,
okay,
I need to talk to these men, because women, we're a little bit lost. And a lot of these women like me are kind of alone or semi-alone, or the dad is, you know, financially maybe successful, but they don't know how to do a whole lot of other things. They've lost the primal. They've, and we've shunned it so much. If, you know, when I gave my son a knife, it's what he wanted, his first straight knife. And I put his name, I engraved it. It was what he wanted, that buck knife. And even just, it was 12 years old. And he told me, but recently he's got many knives. He loves knives. And he goes, and they're tools. You know, people, my mom, everybody was scared. And I said, I get it. It's not a weapon. It's an extension of his power. And it's a tool that makes him more useful. That's when I understood that. I'm like, that's what he's looking for, to be useful, you know, to be able to do more. And he said, Mom, that's the most special. That's my favorite knife. It's not the most expensive, but I remember that so much, and that you got it for me. And because it's my favorite one. And he never can actually, you know, he just keeps them in his bedroom. You can't carry them or do anything with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, so when he gets to carve something, it's a big thing. You're like, oh, I get to whittle some things. But because he hasn't been hunting, that is a thing I haven't quite, we haven't quite crossed over where I'm like, okay, I need to recruit some other guys. Pick you out to do that. So you going from this CrossFit acupuncturist needle poking guy that somehow ended up doing this TED talk, which the dark story is the dark pain is extraordinary. I've never heard of anybody doing it that long.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. And then creating this movement, this man uncivilized concept, that I cannot tell you how many men I try to get to, like, join your movement or, you know, go do courses with you. And I'm not really successful. So I need one, maybe coaching, like, how do I get more men to like you or to listen to me, to get to you? And it's like advice from guys like you, like, what about us over here? What about the moms that are like, what can you tell me to do now to help me try to ensure my son is going to end up more like you guys and be in your tribe?
It's a $1 million question, right? It really is. It's not your job. And that's, it's offensive to a lot of mothers to hear that. The challenge is, it's not your job, but somebody has to do it. And so oftentimes you're put in a position of, this isn't my job, but there's literally no one else to do it, so I have to do it. And so bless you for even asking the question or stepping in to fill a role that truly isn't yours. But the answer to the question is what you've already done. It's finding conscious, integrated, actualized, initiated men to teach your son the ways of men, right? There's this thing with us, like, we have a job. We have a job. The male path, the male journey, the male expression is doing. It's not just being. It's all about doing. We have a job that has job requirements. And unfortunately, most men don't get taught the job requirements. They don't get taught how to do the job. And so then we end up with a culture, a society that's like, men are weak. Men are useless. Men just want to play video games and jerk off to porn. Men don't know how to be men. Like, well, who the fuck taught them to? Nobody.
Yeah.
You're a doctor. If you didn't go to medical school and you didn't have an internship and you didn't have a residency, and they just were like, doctor. And you're like, cool. You showed up on the first day of work and, like, cool. Here's someone with fibromyalgia who's also having a heart attack and is bleeding out of their femoral artery. Fix them. You'd be like, I don't know what to do. But they're like, but you're a doctor. I can look at you. It says it on the name tag. Which it says on 99.9% of men's names tags, says man, but no one trained them, no one taught them. Or even worse, as we talked about a moment ago, they've been shamed out of the job. Hey, it's toxic masculinity. If you are primal, if you do lead, if you do want to take risks, if you can compartmentalize your emotions to get something really challenging or dangerous done, how dare you? Oh, by the way, we still need you to do all that shit, but how dare you? And so it is a very, very confusing time and space, especially for younger guys, right? I grew up in a different era. I grew up with different challenges, and guys in my generation, you know, I'm 47, guys 40 and up mostly had the primal, but they didn't have any sense of consciousness. We didn't grow up with emotionally intelligent fathers or grandfathers or men in our lives. We grew up with Rambo and Commando and the Rocky and the Stoic, like feel no pain, express no emotion. You weren't even allowed to have pain. Trauma wasn't a thing we figured out with men until 15 years ago. Look at PTSD and what's come about just in the last 15, 10 years, 5 years. That wasn't around in the 80s. It wasn't around in the 90s. It wasn't around in the men who raised our fathers, or our fathers, who many of whom were in Vietnam or Korea or one of the wars afterwards. So my generation's learning how to feel. It's okay to feel. Actually, you need to feel. Your life will be so much richer and more expansive and delicious, as will your relationship. Primarily, if we speak heteronormatively, as will your relationship with women. That will change every aspect of your relationship experience with a woman when you can feel your emotions, when you're not afraid of your emotions, therefore you're not afraid of her emotions. So you don't need to shame either person's emotional experience. That's my generation. That's when I work with older guys, but with younger guys, it's like, beautiful, you're ruled by your emotions. You have no sense of the power that you exhibit in your body. You are terrified to penetrate the world with your idea. You're terrified to take up space. You're terrified to lead. You're terrified to, quote, be a man, because you have had that shamed and beaten out of you by culture or by society, right? So to answer your question, with a young man the age of your son, he needs to be around other men and other good men. That's the problem. That's the challenge here, right? We say, how do we initiate young men? There's no initiation in our culture. There used to be a very clear time when you were separated from the female aspect of society and taken off by the men and given some intense challenge. I just got chills. And were taught the ways of men. And the boyish part of you was left behind, was severed. It was killed off. Yes, you carried some of it with you. You're allowed to laugh and joke and be a jackass from time to time. But you were taught the ways of men. You were taught the ways of responsibility, taught the ways of integrity, taught the ways of leadership, hopefully taught the ways of sexuality, taught the ways of how to make money, how to take care of things, and then deemed a man. Hey, us men, we're also here with you. We're going to look after you. You're not alone anymore in this journey. It's not just you trying to figure shit out by looking at social media, porn, and video games. We're actually going to guide you and be with you all along the way. But we don't have that anymore. And so we look to these, I don't know, like shitty ways, the things I just listed. We look to alcohol, we look to TV, we look to sports, we look to like to initiate people, initiate young boys into manhood when that's not possible. Who can initiate someone into their space? The initiated. Right? Does that make sense? It's why combat vets come back, and who do they hang out with? Other combat vets. Who teaches them in the military? People who've been to combat. They have to hang out with their own, the people who have gone through the same experience that they have. So now we have 17, 18, 19, 20, 30-year-old guys who've never been brought through a process that takes them from boyhood to manhood. And what do you know? Society, like, man, there's a bunch of 30-year-old, 12-year-olds running around. They don't want to do anything for society. They don't want to be of service. They don't want to master themselves. They don't want to have a direction. They don't want to fuck their women. They don't want to fuck anything. They're terrified of their power. They're terrified of their sexuality. They're just terrified of being a man.
Yeah. I think when you just said the phrase a few moments back about, you know, they're afraid to penetrate the world. You know, and I just felt like, I don't, you might not have said with their greatness or with the hero that they are, or, you know, that's how it sounded to me. I'm like, that it was so visual and potent for me. I'm like, that is what's going on. You know, like the amount of fear that's constricting, young girls to young women. It really, this generation, the fear level is quite extraordinary. They've been terrorized sure. in a very different way than you and I were, you know, just globally, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a potent way to say it. And I say this to the women that are listening, because a lot of women or moms are, you know, listen to this, like, but I've been trying to explain to patients and clients for a long time, the difference of that. Men and women are not the same. Boys and girls are not the same. I don't know why we keep trying to pretend in some fantasy land they are. And like the power, my superpowers are not the same as your superpowers. And that idea, like, I've seen so many women, like, the fact, well, he just wants to do stuff and he just gets it, you know, like this. I'm like that. Mm-hmm. And I literally said, that's their job. Mm-hmm. That isn't what masculine does. And I, you know, my job is to bring the synthesis in this holographic way. And that masculine energy helps direct me. Do you not understand that? Mm-hmm. Like what part, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, don't, it's like you're yelling at the flower for being a flower. I don't right. understand. Right. Like, that's what they do. They're supposed right. to, like,
right.
fix shit, you guys. Like, that's right. let them carry the stuff and, like, yes, mm-hmm. break things and carry heavy things and fix mm-hmm. things. That's your job, mm-hmm. you know, and not in a way that's belittling, but like, let them have their purpose. So why are you taking that purpose away and expecting right. them to act like you? Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean you don't have emotions. It doesn't mean I can't fix sure. things. It's just, sure. I've seen that so many times. And then these wives will take away that part and then get mad at this. I'm like, you don't understand. You're emasculating him. And now you are confused as to why he doesn't want to have sex with you.
Right.
Like, you make him feel small. I don't right. understand what this you aren't getting. And we end up doing it to their boys. Mm-hmm. Like, we want them, you know, very soft and not doing combat physical things and no fighting and don't know rough and tumble. And we've right. taken that stuff away so much. I'm like, you know, that's healthy for them. And so when I have to have explain that, like, really? I'm like, yeah, mama, it's more like Brazilian, you know, put them in jujitsu and grappling, right. not yoga. Right. I mean, there's time for yoga later when he's 50 or mm-hmm. like, now he kind of needs to learn to fight. Don't you guys understand, you know, but they don't, you know, because I think we fear the actual toxic man, right? Sure, sure. Because he's unstable.
Sure.
But they've gotten that very confused. What do you, it's an interesting distinction you made about these older guys and these younger mm-hmm. men, right? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, for shits and giggles, what do you think happened to make this so different?
Mm.
You know, like, why these guys, we get, you explained why, okay,
sure.
emotional intelligence, we had Rambo and that kind yeah. of stuff. That was my generation. And even the sure. girls, we very masculinized trying to be like that too. You know, sure. we think everything's supposed to be like that. And femininity has been getting killed, or sure. femininity has turned into like caricature, porn star, silicone. Right. I don't know what, you know, nothing natural, you know what sure. I mean? Sure. So we have our version of ridiculous. But these, you know, I go into like the hormonal endocrine disruptors and, mm-hmm. you know, nature and environmental cause and what we've doing to poison and lower testosterone. And
right.
that's true. But is there other things that you see that yeah. are going on that you feel like, well, these are the things I'd want you to protect your kids from, mama, or like your moms and dads, because there's that. And then we got to go with, how do we discern and find the men like you? How do we, you know, there's two phases here. How did this kind of happen? Mm-hmm. Can we deal with some of that root cause? Can we sure. flush it out and get rid of it? Because we'd be better to not have the problem and then try to fix, you know, prevention's always better mm-hmm. than fixing a disease, right? You stop it from coming in. That's definitely, that's, you know,
definitely. Well, I think it's I know it's multifactored. Right. So here are some of the factors. If you read The Coddling of the American Mind by Jonathan Haidt.
I have, yeah.
Great book, right? So great book talking about just some of the things that have happened societally with helicopter parenting and fear of the peanut allergy. And I remember growing up, it was like fear of Satanism. Like in the 80s was like, everyone's going to get kidnapped by a satanic cult. But still, I walked to school, right? I was outside more often than I was in. There wasn't a big fear of kidnapping. There wasn't a big fear of someone's going to come grab me, because the news cycles didn't have that on 24/7. So there's pieces of that. But I also think that at the core, a couple things happened. One, toxic masculinity as an idea came into the culture. And so I understand the definition of it. I'm very smart. I know words. I have a master's degree. I understand what people say, what they mean when they say that. But I'm not 8. I'm not 9. I'm not 10. I'm not 11, 12, 13, 14. That concept came into my consciousness when I was 40, when I was already constellated as a man, when I'd already gone through hard shit, when I'd already figured out that I really like to tussle. I like to wrestle. I like to fight. I like to shoot guns. I like boobs. I like fast cars. I like some of the classical, you know, traditional things that we would quote say men like. And I worked through not being apologetic about those. Yet, I think we have a whole generation that wasn't 40, but and was heavily influenced under this fear. We love in the culture to have some boogeymen. And as long as it's the boogeyman, we don't have to deal with the actual problem of it. And toxic masculinity was one of our boogeymen. Any behavior that we didn't like, period, we got to call, and it came from a man, we got to call toxic masculinity. Now, the tail of that, what came after that, was a lot of young boys who were conditioned to think natural male expression is toxic. So wanting to wrestle on the playground, liking girls, wanting to do hard shit, wanting to be adventurous, wanting to go run in the woods, anything that was kind of naturally outward that may have been a tiny bit hard to deal with by primarily the female figures in their lives, who were the early school teachers, who were the primary caretakers, who were, and I say this with as much love and compassion as I can, oftentimes traumatized themselves by men. So we have an entire generation that was raised by women primarily who hated or were hurt by men. Asterisk to that is a lot of them for very good reason, because they were traumatized by men. So the pendulum swung all the way over to anything male dangerous. So let's just get rid of it. I say, like, we threw the masculine baby out with the toxic bathwater. That's what we did culturally. So that's a big piece here, a big piece. And then what else came into play in the last 10 years? Social media, internet porn. And I know people will be like, nah, those can't be too much of a factor. Now, what made me want to expand myself, grow myself, be tougher, put myself in a lot of uncomfortable situations a lot of times? That was the only damn way I was going to meet girls. The only way, right? I had to call someone's house, get their dad, be like, hi, is Susan there? Yes, it's, you know, and then that, like, the fear, the terror, you know, how many times I like dial, like do the ring, like I'd like the circular thing on our phone and then just hang up. Cause like, I can't fucking do it. I can't do it. Or just like stare at the phone. Right. Yeah. Now you've got a 10-year-old who can get nudes sent to him on his own phone.
Right.
So if I don't have to leave my house and do hard shit to get my needs, I can get my needs 80% met in some very big categories.
Yeah.
Social connection and sex. If I don't have to leave my house, if I don't have to strive, if I don't have to be in shape, if I don't have to stand out, if I don't have to be uncomfortable to get any of that, well, then I'm not going to do it. A lot of guys, that's what I hear from them. Like, well, why would I go out on a Friday night, right? And spend money and risk rejection to meet a girl. I can stay home and I can jerk off for 2 hours to 2,000 women who look exactly the way I want them, will never say no. I never have to deal with rejection. I don't have to deal with butterflies or getting nervous or anything going wrong or anything, period. I can get those needs met. And now we take that and we extend that over time. And what happens if I don't want to go out? And I tell my buddy, like, no, I'm not going out tonight. He doesn't want to go out. And then he tells the other buddy, he doesn't want to go out. Then we have a generation that's kind of lost the zest for life. This was a fascinating conversation I had a week ago after jujitsu class. Two of the guys who are fathers said, you guys want to hear something crazy? Our 15-year-olds still want to get their driver's license. And I was like, wait a minute. Get the fuck out of here. Like, how is this even possible? Like, yeah, they literally don't care. I was like, well, why don't they care? Let's talk this through. I like talking about and chewing on things. Like, well, they just stay home. They throw a webcam on their computer. They have 15 other dudes on the screen and they kind of just go about their Friday, Saturday night and they're sort of together, but they don't have to go out. So they don't have, and they're arguing about like, I don't have to pay insurance. I don't have to buy a car. I don't have to go to driver's ed. I don't have to go through the initiation of anything that opens me up to a different way of being, a different access to freedom, a different access to sexuality, to relationship, to intimacy, because I'm not willing to pass the threshold, because why buy the cow when I can get 80% of the milk on my screen at home? And so that's where I think a lot of this comes from.
Yeah.
Right? It's easily given to this younger generation. Yeah. I feel a little bit like get off my lawn with that idea. I'm like, God, it was so much harder when we were going, but
yeah, but it's true. If you had to like sneak in your dad's lockbox or do something tricky to maybe get his Playboy, you know what I mean? There was, and even then when I look back at that compared to what is available today, it's straight up trauma. There's like, I don't even understand how a child, video is not the same as a picture to begin with, but Playboy, looking at that, like the level of benign compared to,
sure,
I don't even understand. I'm not even going to say some of the things I heard people say. They do what you, there was, I don't want to know about, what do you mean animals and objects? For sure. And I'm like, that's right, levels of, that's not normal. Like, this is not even, that's not sex actually. So, And like you said, just that simple act of, right, if you wanted to talk to your buddy, you had to call a phone, or an adult was probably going to answer, "Hi, Mr. Jones. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's Timmy. Can I talk to Mary?" You know what I mean?
Or it's, I have like to ride my bike 20 minutes to my buddy's house, and it was almost like more adulting.
Well, like, you're getting a real dopamine charge. What it is dopamine is an amazing molecule, and you're supposed to put effort into then it being released. But like you said, porn and the phone and social, you get all this dopamine with no effort. That's when it becomes imbalanced and addictive and actually harmful. Dopamine is incredible when you actually have to do work and you get what you want. And it's like, it's satisfaction and it's wanting more. And it drives curiosity. It drives motivation. It drives the yearning for better. And it keeps you wanting better. And so these kids, so let me ask, how do you think the kids who are, so let's say, how does a 21-year-old young man get, who comes to you, ends up coming to you like, I'm a mess. Like, I want to be like you though, or I want more men like you. Are they coming in like, I don't have a license and I've been, jacking off, and like, or are they already the kind of young men that were already becoming actualized? Like, who comes to you to some of these programs and says, I want to be,
a little bit of both. Like, we get a lot of guys who recognize, I don't have anybody, there's something I need to learn and I don't have anybody to teach me. I get that. Like, I understand that mentality. I remember growing up with that. It's like why I joined a jiu-jitsu school. I was like, hey, I want to learn how to fight. You guys seem to know what you're doing. Will you teach me? We get a lot of that. Or guys saying like, I have no older men in my life. I have no, and they don't use the word elder. Like, I just don't have anybody. So can you teach me? That's stage one, or part one. Part two, we do get a lot of guys, unfortunately, who are like, I have erectile dysfunction and I'm 19, right? Like, I'm terrified of women. They have erectile dysfunction now in like 13, 14, 15 year olds. It is atrocious because of the prevalence. And we could talk about porn for 7 hours of the damage it's done. But we also get a lot of guys like that who are, hey, I'm 60 pounds overweight. I'm broke. I don't know what I want to do. I'm addicted. I can recognize now that I don't want to have this cycle of weed, video game, porn.
This is so inspiring actually for me, Trevor, to like, they're coming to you.
Yeah.
What do you think is the hook that gets them? I mean, pain. You got a hell of a story. Yeah. Okay.
It's pain.
Okay.
right? There's something, and I think if we go a little bit deeper than this, there's a knowing that, like, hey, I know somewhere in my body or somewhere in my being that this isn't all there is, right? I think if you take someone and you feed them cup noodle for 3 years, they're going to be like, I don't think I'm supposed to feel this way. I don't think I'm supposed to feel like shit all the time. There's some part of truth that's penetrated them and gone, hey, or they've seen it, right? They've seen it on social media, or they've seen it out in the world. They're like, hey, there's guys doing stuff and living lives that seem pretty cool. I am not on that track, right? They've had some interaction, interface with someone doing something that they want to do. Now, here's the beauty with a lot of those guys. You give them a tiny bit of a challenge and a tiny bit of discipline, and they're fucking hooked.
Hands down, if you can only use one peptide, you're going to take BPC 157 Pure. This is Integrative Peptide's best-selling product. It has 500 micrograms of the systemically active multifunctional peptide. It is absolutely my go-to for every type of multipurpose therapy. It deals with, basically think of BPC 157 as healing and regeneration. Gut health, muscles, inflammation, pain, and believe it or not, brain performance such as anxiety. BPC 157 is a peptide I will not be without. Get yours at a discount and free shipping by emailing us at desk@drrimka.com. DESK at DRRIMKA.com.
Because some part of the masculine being in them wakes up and goes, you know what? It actually feels pretty damn good to get up, go for a run, maybe take a cold shower, like just using classic stuff, like go out in the woods, spend the day snowboarding. Like, hey, I talked to a girl. I was freaking out and my stomach was doing butterflies, but like I felt alive. And like, that's enough. If we give these guys like a micro dose of aliveness, that's what ends up pulling them out, because the rest of it's dead. Social media is a deadening device. Porn's a deadening device. Weed is video games. I don't have anything against video games, but these are proxy experiences.
Yeah.
Right. I watch the Super Bowl. I don't watch a lot of football. Why? Because I don't play football. I'd rather go play football.
Right.
Or I'd rather go do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I get it. Like sometimes it's awesome to watch the best athletes in the world do really, really cool shit. But I'd also like to go do that. I don't watch porn because I'd rather just fuck my girlfriend, because that's real. Right. And like, it's real. That's the thing. I'd rather go hike the mountain than watch YouTube videos of guys hiking. And so once guys get an experience of it, one, they then have to have a reconciliation of, oh shit, I have wasted this much time. I have been lied to by culture. I have been misused and misaligned by society. Where was this information? So there's a reckoning and like some grieving that has to happen, but it's quick.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, cool. You didn't know this. Don't worry about it. Get on with shit. What are you going to do now?
And what do you think about, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and a lot of them, we don't have to teach them about sensitivity, which is beautiful. But we have to temper that sensitivity and say, hey, there's going to be times, some of them, when you have to override how you feel. Mm-hmm. If the goal is bigger than you, right? I've written 2 books. At some point in the middle of every book, I don't want to write anymore. I don't want to edit anymore. I'm sick of this thing. I just want this. I want this thing done. And I, at my age and with being an athlete, I'm like, cool, put your goddamn head down, keep writing. Because the goal is bigger than me. And I've known this just from any athletic endeavor. You got to train. It's got to hurt. It's going to feel like you want to quit. But that game, winning that game, that's what you're after. So please, I think I cut you off.
Honestly, I don't even remember exactly what it was. And it doesn't really matter. Maybe I guess dealing with the sports. Again, so I'm an athlete. I played sports and in college. And athletes have a different... almost an embracing of pain in a way, and the challenge and the overcome And we do understand, like, practice should be so hard you're puking, so the game is a little bit easy. Like that, I don't, if you're not puking, I mean, you're not working hard enough. I mean, it's, you must have more in you. Okay. Sure. That's kind of how I was coached, you know, little intense, like actual high quality. And somebody I interviewed recently for the podcast, the way he said it, it was like, it sounded so profound, but it really is kind of simple, where his thing is like, well, I have, you know, children, and raising boys and girls, I would never do it the same, because my sons prosper and grow basically and expand through hardship. Girls don't expand through, girls are not supposed to be in tremendous, he goes, it's different.
It's totally different.
Yeah. I don't want to put them through as much hardship. Yeah. I want to put him through more hardship. He has to be challenged more. He needs to go through more pain, because this is how men eventually thrive. Yeah. The struggle helps us.
Right.
When, you know, girls, that's because of course you're going to have, you know, but it was almost like saying, y'all are already naturally so strong and stuff. You do need more and you need comfort. Like not in a way, like it wasn't insulting to me at all. I'm like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You're right. Because I've been pregnant. I've breastfed my son. I needed comfort. I needed a lot of comfort. I needed, my job is not to be vigilant and hunting and stressed in that time. It's to be completely focused on nurturing and giving life and loving every second of all that oxytocin and just flooding myself with, you know, the hormones of that process. Honestly, make you feel kind of a blend of like a really high Wonder Woman. Like if you really are present to it, like it's outrageous. Now you're exhausted and there is pain involved, but you get, you generate these chemicals in such a way. I tell people, I don't know what to tell you, but like, you know, you can be as tired or whatever, and your baby's on you. And it's like that, what ends up happening? I'm like, I'm good. And there's nothing that's even really going to stress me out that much. Yeah. And that's a thing we have, our comfort. So everything you've been describing, in a way, it is, as soon as it's the challenge, it's the overcome, it's the him remembering you can do hard shit. You're a tough, you're a badass. There's more muscle in you than you realize. And if you don't have any, let's build some. For sure. And you will feel better. And I've seen that time and time again, and it's tough to explain doing all the emotional work I do in mental health, that I do come back to their bodies often. I'm like, I'm telling you, the body follows the mind, and the mind follows the body. And so sometimes we got to get physical. Like, let's address this physicality and watch how the mind will then go with it. And sometimes you do both at the same time, hopefully.
Sure.
How much is the physical aspect? You've talked a lot about this. Like, are you finding, do you have to bring that into these men, the male life and the body, to help instigate the change in them?
It's a great question. It's just a tool we use, because I have found it to be profoundly useful.
Yeah.
So we'll do 5-day workshops, and the very first element we do after an opening circle is a light expression of wrestling. Right? I have a jiu-jitsu background, MMA background. I have these guys wrap each other up and kind of tussle. Right? Of like, hey, I want you to put a little bit of, we're not trying to win an Olympic gold here. We're not even trying to win a medal. I want you to feel what it's like to have tension and friction against your physical body with a quote cooperative partner, and you impose your own physicality against that cooperation with cooperation. What was that like for you? And it wakes these guys up immediately. And I can't tell you how many of them, first of all, they're all lit up for the rest of the day. But how many of them will pull me aside afterwards and be like, man, I miss that. You know, my brother and I used to wrestle when we were kids. I stopped doing it in high school. I got sedentary. I got my accounting job. I haven't done anything like that in 20 years. I haven't felt this alive in so long. And I'll come back to, people may call this, I don't know, maybe it's misogyny. Like, we are built to do. I am built to do shit. I meditate. Yeah. I journal, I sit with my partner, I'm very present. Like, my build is to go out and do shit. I'm supposed to chop down wood. I'm supposed to pick up heavy stuff. That makes me feel good. And yes, I'm an athlete, so I'm biased towards it, but I've taken non-athletes, people who have never in their entire lives literally played a sport, and run them through that exercise and say, how do you feel? I feel alive. Yeah. I feel powerful. I feel strong. I feel integrated. Well, I didn't know that if I pushed on this and flexed that, that I could get an outcome. So there's a macro piece to it too of, oh, you actually pushed, you imposed something. And we're not talking about imposing tyranny. We're not talking about being an asshole, but you fucking led. You actually put yourself and leaned into something hard and created the outcome that you want. Good. Go do that elsewhere. Keep in touch with your heart. Keep your emotions open. Keep your heart open. Stay in contact and connection with everybody in your life and go fucking penetrate. Go lead. Mm-hmm. Right? Go build. Why? Because we need people like you. We need leaders right now. We have an absolute epidemic deficit of leadership because no one wants to take the responsibility, or we shoot our leaders. Different conversation. Mm-hmm. But we don't have it in the families. We don't have it in the communities. We don't have it in the cities. But most importantly, we don't have it in each of those individual men's lives. You know, one of the first questions I ask a lot of men, which I will give the same caveat I've given 50,000 times, is I don't want this to be true. But I ask them, what would you do in your life if women didn't exist? Now, someone's going to listen to this and be like, oh my God, he doesn't want women to exist. So I'll say it again. I don't want this to be true. And it raises some interesting questions for guys. What would you do with yourself? Oh, you would stop going to the club, stop wearing these clothes. You'd actually quit your job. You'd stop driving that car. What would you do with yourself? Oh, you'd write. You'd make art, you'd build a business, you'd do something, you'd actually, okay, you're not as distracted by this answer. I'm not putting any onus or blame on anybody, but just saying, guys, do you realize how much power you have to be of service when you get to the higher level? Uh-huh. First, you got to take care of yourself. You got to learn how to cook. You got to learn how to be in relationship. You have to learn how to have sex. You have to learn how to communicate. You have to learn how to get your basic needs met. You got to, as Jordan Peterson said, make your damn bed. You got to know how to be an adult. Now, what do you want to do with this talent? What do you want to, what is the gift that you want to bring forward into the world? That we're not getting anywhere close to that. And that to me is the real tragedy here, right? We don't have safe relationships because they in a pole and a pole. We have a fucking mess in relationships. We don't have, people aren't having good sex. People aren't having a lot of sex, period. Why? Because we have a fucking mess in the roles. The roles have gotten confused. The roles have gotten shamed, right? So we have this epidemic lack of, I think, of masculinity, of true heart-centered depth. I know who I am. I have access to my cock. I have access to my heart. I have access to my head. I'm clear. I've worked through a lot of my trauma. You don't work through all of it, but I've worked through enough of it to know what my triggers are. I can have a conversation. I can be in relationship. I'm actually safe to be around. Oh, by the way, I understand that this physical thing that I'm going to go through my entire life with, I'm also going to train the shit out of that. Why? It feels good. Huh. I'm a better man when I've come back from the gym. I'm a clearer human. I'm a better leader of my team. I'm a better boss, a better lover. I'm a better boyfriend. I'm a better son, right? And it's a real interesting thing when men get to go, oh, I walk around with a result. I may feel powerless as a 15, 17, 19, 21-year-old. I can't start a company yet. I haven't gone through college. I don't have any money. I don't really have an idea. Mm-hmm. But 4 days a week for the last 3 months, I've gone into this place and I've pushed 150 pounds off my chest and I look different in the mirror. Action, result. Huh. That's a curious tie-in. If I study and I get good grades, I will get this. If I put work in and effort in and I follow truth, because there's no lies in the gym, right? 150 pounds. Yeah. 150 pounds, you either did five reps or you did five reps. Wow, I got the result I wanted. Now that idea just makes men be a lot more fun to be around, a lot more safe to be around, a lot more interesting to be around, right? I've worked with at-risk youth where we say, hey, here's what you get. you get 4 workouts a week. We're going to train the shit out of you. And what do you know what happens to those guys? For the first time in their lives, one, men supported them and said, we're going to teach you how to be different. We're not going to knock you down. We're not going to call you names. We're not going to shame you. We're not going to abuse you. We're actually going to lift you up, but you're going to develop a relationship with a barbell, with a piece of steel, with a tool that you're going to feel and you're going to rub up against. There's going to be friction. You're going to hate it. It's going to hurt and you're going to push through that. And then boom, you see their whole lives change just from, and I'm not pushing weightlifting here. I don't care what the modality is, but it's something about men overcoming a struggle. We need that stuff.
Huh.
I've told asked a number of men a separate question. What are your needs as a man? And they're like, they stare at me like I just shit on their kitchen floor. Like they're completely like, what? What do you mean of my needs as a man? And so many times, here's what happens, doc. They try to bypass it and go like, oh, I just have needs as a human. I don't really like, you know, I'm free flowy and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, shut the fuck up. What are your needs as a man? I know what my needs are as a human. I need food, water, shelter, some community. I have very different needs as a man. I need to tussle. I need to wrestle. I need to write a certain way. I need to be in the ocean a certain amount of times a year, almost drowning surfing. I need to fuck my partner with a certain intensity and a certain frequency. Now, I cannot have all of those things and I will not die. But I will not be who I am right now and I will not be of service to the world in the way that I am. So men listening to this too, like if you don't have your user manual figured out, you got work to do. Because also when I got in relationship, I handed my user manual to my partner and said, this is who I am. This is what I need to operate. I don't need these things to be alive, but you notice when elements of this fall away, I'm not going to be the same person. I'm not going to be as effective. I'm not going to be as potent and I'm not going to be as loving, joyous and all the things. So is this something that you're interested in? Like how honest for people who are dating, imagine having like the user manual slid across the table on date 3. Like, oh, this is what you need. Oh, cool. I can jive with this. Oh, this doesn't work for me. I can't jive with this. But beyond the dating cycle, as a man, I get to look in the mirror and go, I know who you are. I know how you operate. I know what you need. Now it's incumbent upon me in relationship or out to operate at the highest level. Because to me, I am a man of service and I cannot operate at a high level of service unless I've taken care of those things. And that's not anybody else's responsibility, but mine. That all makes sense.
I feel like absolutely. Hey man, it's your show. I mean, you've been on the TED Talk circuits. You've done the things. So you guys, I will have all this stuff about who he is in the bio, but you can definitely kind of feel the tone. I am just in the sake of time going to wrap things up because I'm taking my son out. We're going to go spend some time with my young soon to be man. Beautiful. It's a man child. It's an interesting age, right? Because once upon a time, 17, I mean, he'd be off, you know,
World War II,
maybe on a ship. And yeah, I mean, he could be commandeering something, got a gun. He could have, you know, children almost, you know, back in the 50s, whatever. It's like, boo boo, 18, you better get out. You're going to either get a wife, join the military, go get a job, do something, but you're not staying here, right? That's kind of my friends who are in their 80s are like, oh God, it just was totally different. And the military is kind of what a lot of them had. It was kind of that rites of passage was that, right? Mm-hmm. Or they might, you know, a factory job or a trade, become a blacksmith or a carpenter. There was like a thing, you know, I'm going to become an electrician and go to do that. And now we've kind of extended, you know, childhood into like, I don't know, 25, 30, because you might still be going to school. Like I didn't graduate till I was, you know, 20, whatever, 6 years old. So yeah. It's kind of like, in a way, it's a pseudo thing we've done with this excessive education in a way. Mm-hmm. And people stay young, very long on, you know, like thinking, oh, they're going to live with their parents and be on the insurance and you aren't really responsible. And I keep talking my kid into, I don't know why he wants to go to college. He does. And I'm like, can you not do that? And I'm trying not to influence too much. But I'm like, can't you just start a company? He's like, mom. I'm like, well, I said, I'm just saying, Mm-hmm. I'm like, your dad and I own companies. We don't really, I don't understand what you're trying to, I'm just saying, if you want to renovate a house or something, I'll buy you one. I'm waiting towards college, really. But I'm like, I guess if you want to go have fun, I'm like, just do it like a year. But that's my take. So I'm one of these kind of strange parents that at this point, he's like, you're the strangest mom. You actually don't care about my grades. I'm like, because it's stupid, actually, honey. Mm-hmm. But 17-year-olds want to fit in.
Sure.
Like to the culture. It's a really interesting thing. So I hear this. Yeah. I'm like, it all sounds amazing. I'm working against the popular culture of what all the kids are like. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating to watch. He has to break away from the parents, especially the mother, because if you're the mother of a boy, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to have that. But the peer pack, it's interesting. It is kind of weak now. They're not as tough. They don't want to drive. They don't have as much, you know, there's good kids. Don't get me wrong, but it is different. They're not as adventurous. Yeah. They're a little bit more afraid. They've been indoctrinated with, well, I can just do it this way versus I'm like, I could never find kids that the parents wouldn't allow them to ride bikes with him because, or they would say, if they come over, well, you're going to watch them all day. You're not gonna let them just walk the neighborhood. Are you? I'm like, why? The mall's right there. They could just walk to the mall. Like, you know, so in my world, and I was like, okay, the mother won't. I said, you guys, I have to drive you because I'm not lying to this woman, but they're afraid. And so there is that factor, like, what do we, you know, as parents, if you're trying to, that's an interesting thing, Traver, to kind of go, the whole culture, like I can't stop the social media. I can't stop what he sees and what the this, and you look at it and you're like, is that what's really on the billboard right there? Mm-hmm. And we can talk about it. We can explain it, but I have to have these conversations at times, which can be very controversial. I'm like, they said, what is school? And he wanted to go to school. I did homeschooling. So I said, I get it. He wants to be like normal, right? Sure. And be a part of and know the things. And you have to kind of go, oh, wow, that's what they said. I'm like, well, none of that's actually real, but okay. But something you said, like dealing with the way it is today and these relationships, I wonder, Trevor, if there ever really was a time in our modern history that we know of where, I don't know, it wasn't confusing for men and women, or like there, you know, like, I don't know if there ever was a group of men and women, right, honestly, fully embodied and self-actualized in good relationship with each other. Maybe it was real way, way back, and some of these maybe these primal tribal kind of cultures have more, but obviously we know history keeps getting erased and ruined, and we come in and religions and, you know, we don't even know the real reality of how things are, but, you know, nothing was perfect in the 70s. Nothing was perfect in the 50s. Nothing was perfect in the 20s. No. And it's like, have we ever had that? You know, are we moving towards eventually, we've had to go these extreme pendulum swings. So eventually, you know, groups and men like you and women like me are forging programs to try and, I'm more involved in trying to get into the divine feminine, trying to get women embodied again and trying to bring them away from the shame of feeling and being led honestly by the power of their sexuality at times. I'm like, why, and being mad that men want it. I'm like, you don't like it or something? I don't understand. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. He wants to have sex with you. You understand this, right? Like, why don't you want to have sex? Like, what's going on? You know? And like, maybe we're moving into this, you know, new earth time where it'll end up, we work it all out. Because a lot of people are giving up on the way it is, right? And they just either choose that I'm going to check out, not engage, you know, be at home on the porn or the Zoom or whatever they're doing.
Right.
Or they get even more, like, they bring hatred and war and contempt into it. You know, like if they have energy, it becomes fighting and like bickering and like, well, that's not a solution, versus taking that energy into their own aliveness and then reconnecting and connecting with somebody that they can be even more synergistic with and in bliss with. So it's an interesting thing what we're dealing with in with men, right? So you teach mostly, do you do anything with the younger kids?
We have a teen program, but I don't run it myself. I'm still dealing mostly with the older people. To piggyback off of what you said, I think we idealize the past. But I also think there are parts of the past where there was clarity of, I know what I was supposed to do, but there were missing pieces of it, right? If we look at, and I wasn't alive in the 50s, but if we look at the 50s, the roles were really clear, but we didn't know a thing about trauma. We didn't understand anything about abuse. Women didn't have the choice to be in that role. Men didn't have the choice to be in that role very often. And so I think we've traded clarity for choice. And now we need to find a middle point, right? Like, I have some idea of a relationship construct that hasn't fully come through yet. It's not crystallized yet. It hit me about a year ago. And it really was and I kind of wrote about this in the book, so I'm skipping around a bit, of we're now at a point relationally. This was my offensive chapter, right? Pussy's Free on Tinder, which was outlining two different points relationally. One, you don't need my paycheck anymore as a man. You don't need me to stand on the front of the house with a gun or a spear to protect you from a lion. So cool. You don't, quote, need men anymore. Now, men don't need women to get there, don't need relationship or even real live women to get their sexual needs met.
I know.
So that used to be kind of the old trade-off: resources and protection for sex and childbearing. That's a really crude way of looking at the old way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what we've seen now is the drift apart of, like, hey, I don't need you. And guess what? I don't need you either. What we haven't gotten back to is, but I really want to be with you. And I actually do need you for something else. You don't need me to protect your home or to give you money, but you do need me to hold space for you to allow the feminine to ascend, right? The feminine has access to spiritual knowledge. I don't want to go too off beat here, but you guys do have access to deeper truths than I do as more of a dense human, right? If you need a door knocked down, I'm your dude. Yeah. If you want to talk about higher levels of consciousness, I'll go upstairs and grab my partner or ask you. Because you guys just have different access to that. Now, what do men need? We don't need you for sex. We don't need you to get those needs met. But how about support in a different way that allows me to actually heal my old trauma? Because we haven't given men permission to do that yet. Or we say you have to do it out of relationship. Go fix yourself, unfuck yourself, and come back. So relationally, now we get to look at it and go, oh, there is a third level where my needs are met, your needs are met. I'm helping you. I'm supporting you. You're supporting me. You get to be who you want to be in the world and what the highest calling is for the feminine in the world. It's no longer just, you're a baby maker, babe. Sorry. Like, this is all we need from you to do. Lie down, pump out kids, keep your mouth shut. That's the old way. Right now, we actually need the feminine to bleed back into the culture because we've seen what a hyper-masculine culture does. It just eats the fucking planet. We go to war all the time over stupid shit. We need the feminine. We need the divine mother to be like, hey, guess what? We're not sending our 17 and 18 year olds to go fight four countries over for something that we think is pretty much fake and about oil or money. We're not doing that anymore. We need the divine feminine rising of that. We need the divine masculine rising to be like, hey, you know what? Also, is we're done with on this planet, sexual abuse, domestic violence, all the shit that we do to women. We need us to rise for that. And that's where I think that higher level of relationship, that in order to get that personally, like for me to have that with my partner, I can't play into those roles culturally that would be okay. It's not okay with me anymore that we have child sex trafficking in America. It's just not fucking okay with me. It's okay with a lot of men. Domestic abuse, it's okay with a lot of men. Rape, it's okay with a lot of men. Just going to call men out here. It's okay with a lot of them, or they're willing to look the other way. So long story short, like, there is a relational construct that also is required the tearing down of the old one. And the old one being the last one we were in, which is probably why you and I are divorced. We were in that old construct and it didn't work and we broke out of it. Now we have to find something new. But what does it require for the masses to enter into something new? Is that new thing has to be presented. We need vision. We need to know, like, hey, where are we all going? Right now, we're not going anywhere. Cool. So we're going to drop out of sex. We're going to drop out of relationship. We're going to be pissed at each other. You know whose fault this is? It's women's fault. You guys all, you know whose fault this is? It's men's fault. Cool. We can just hate each other until we've decided, oh, there's actually a third option where you and I get to collaborate on something that's so much deeper, so much richer, and so much more expansive. And oh, by the way, has a fuck ton of orgasms for everybody involved, not just my people. And that's the new era. That's the new evolution of consciousness, of relationship, of whatever we want to say. But that requires men to go to therapy. And like you said, women to get back in touch with all the ways you've been conditioned out of your body, or to be shamed from your body, or out of your sexuality, or to be ashamed from your sexuality.
Yeah. That's I'm going to end it. I love that. So it was so ridiculously beautiful. And it's kind of leading into my new podcast that I'm developing right now. We're probably going to call it's me and two other women, doctors. And it's probably called The Pussy Chronicles.
I love it.
Right?
I mean, juicy.
Isn't it?
No pun intended.
Always. I'm 50 and baby, it's yes. So here's why, with the last word, orgasm. Mm. What I realize I have to, like, in a non, you know, in a spiritual way of bringing in anatomical physiology, what has been stolen from the wisdom of women in modern times, what I think has been civilized out of us, is understanding the power of the orgasm and how it is actually healing us. And we are depriving ourselves of pleasure in a multitude of ways for a ton of reasons. And it's some of this that everything you're talking about as well. You know, cause like in your talk, you said like hurt women will tend to hurt ourselves. Mm-hmm. Men will hurt other people, women, and then themselves. We tend to keep it inside, right? Yeah. Self-abuse, but the power for what's coming, and for the women who might be like, what are they talking about now? What happens physiologically, chemically? I've seen it change women, fibromyalgia gone, chronic fatigue gone, when they started with the practice of pleasing themselves and understanding that they deserve to receive.
Yeah.
And the thing that blows my mind about women, I look at them, I'm like, don't you understand that is literally all he wants to do is please you? Like, I don't know why you're making it so hard for him. Like, that is all they live to do most of the time. That's it. And I'm like, really? I'm like, wow, I don't know why you're turning this into it, but maybe it comes from the movies and the porn and the fakeness of like this image of what they think. I'm like, he doesn't need you to perform and pretend. And that's not what this is. But it's like they're shortchanging themselves to try to be something else. And it's like, it's an interesting conversation, but you said that like, it heals everybody. It's a bliss state. It's a sacred state. It's called the sacrum for a reason.
Right.
That is my power center. Right. And it isn't from sex.
Right.
Right. They just, that the soul enters there.
There you go.
And it's, I create life from there.
From there.
And it's like women forget that and want to put it away, especially after like 60 and 70.
Mm.
One of my greatest things this last week, when I have a patient, 68 and a 71-year-old, and they're talking about, you know, I think I'm ready to start dating again. I'm really, you know, I'm like, you know what? I said, honey, you know what? I've done my job. I say, when you have a boyfriend in the Hamptons and a boyfriend in Manhattan, and you're getting laid all the time to the 68, the cancer survivor, you know, who's been through, the husband died and she's been through cancer and she's back to life. To the point I'm waking up the pussy. And the exercise I gave her, I'm like, why don't you ask your pussy what she wants to do today? Oh my God, I never thought of that. I'm like, talk to her, honey, wake her up. She is, we need to bring her back on board because mm-hmm. she is your life force. Mm-hmm. And they want to forget. And now we're putting her away at 25.
Right.
You know, and
it's the portal.
It is the portal. And we, I want to, and, but if you think you're need. At war, if you think you're yeah. at war, you're going to weaponize it.
Right.
Hurt yet, right? So I want to bring love and all the softness back into it for women right now as well. And it's part of my own process of just turning 50 and being okay. And the body changes. Yeah. And there's a lot of embodiment that happens when you become a mother and then the body changes. It's a journey. Let me tell you, Draver, it's not for the weak. That's for sure. But yeah, I love that. I love the way you described. I think that is where we're going.
Yeah.
And I would like to see it sooner than later.
Me too.
You know, but I think with men like you out there doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
We can. So thank you. I mean, the world is a better place and I feel safer because of men like you.
Thank you.
I've really always been a fan of it. Yeah. I tell people like, I don't understand why you're afraid of strong men. Mm. I said, I want the biggest, baddest, toughest killers next to me because they're never going to hurt me.
Right.
They're not trying to degrade me, honey. I don't know what part of that you don't understand. Mm. You know, a strong man doesn't want to hurt a woman or a child. You know, they just don't. You want to protect, you want to provide, and you want to be in actual relationship. I'm always amazed when people think men are emotional. I'm like, they're super emotional. They're super sensitive.
Super.
Where do you think the courage comes from? It comes from their heart.
Right.
They don't risk dying for people they love out of lack of emotion.
Right.
Are you kidding? You know, so tell everybody, I'll put it in the description, but the best place to find you, your books, your courses.
Yeah. Two places. You can go to manuncivilized.com. Please get the book, read the book. It's on Audible, get the hard copy. Like that's the starter kit. And it's been read probably 50-50 at this point for men and women. So even women listening to this, please read the book. And all my courses, The Nation, everything's there on that website. I'm mostly on Instagram at Traver Boehm, TraverBoehm. I have a podcast, The Uncivilized Podcast. Do a lot of live free calls, something called Uncivilized Unplugged. But just find me. And if something in this podcast landed, please message me on Instagram. I would love to hear from your audience. I love talking to people. I think that is how we get the message out, is just having more open and honest conversations. So also thank you for having me on, for sharing your time and your audience with me.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I've been a big fan, you guys. Getting in this, some of your emails are some of the best I get. Like they're so thought-provoking and funny. You have brilliant way of saying stuff intense and disruptive, but so powerfully. And sometimes, you know, with just the right amount of humor, you're like, oh man, he said it like that. Thank you. Like, but he's got a point. I'm like, he's definitely got a point. And I mean, you make me want to take your stuff all the time. I'm like, oh, these guys are having fun. Like these guys, that sounds epic. Like, where is that for my people? And who knows, maybe. And there are various things I've been looking into. I'm like, and I'm talking with a few friends, like maybe we're supposed to do that for women, you know? So we're playing around with it. Like, you know, I'm trying to find myself in the middle of, you know, my dream coming true. That phrase, I forget how you said it, which was very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your night.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. Bye. Bye.